Amen. All right, this morning I want to talk with you about God and who He is, and I want to start at the very beginning with Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. And if you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Father, we thank You so much for this day and for who You are. That You are as grand as You are and still able to be recognized by Your creation. And Lord, that You have reached out to Your creation and made Your love known for it. That You have given Your Son to save us from sin and to give us hope and life eternal. And Lord, we praise You that You think so much of us, that You care so much for us. Lord, that You give us such great hope. And I pray, Father, that we understand You as You have presented Yourself. And we also understand how important it is to know You and to love You and to be what You call us to be. And Lord, I ask for Your help in this time to strengthen us in our hearts and in our faith and in our knowledge and in our walk among the places and the people of this world, that we honor You as You have honored us. And we lift it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a grand statement that is, right? People say, where did all of this start? Well, it started with God. And it's important to understand that. It's important to understand who God is. And you know, when we ask this question, who is God? There are so many things that we could say. And so many questions we could still ask, even with what we understand about who God is and how He has presented Himself in Scripture. But understanding who God is an important part of our life. We have life because of God. We should know who God is. We should understand who God is. And we should live our lives according to God and His will for us in life. How many of us in here, if I asked you this question, who is God to you, could give me an answer? Oh, y'all waiting for me to tell you. How many of you in here know who God is? Just give me a sign, okay? There are a lot of people, though, that have a concept of God without really knowing who He is. And see, this is why I want to talk to you. If we want to understand who God is, this is really the best place to start. Genesis. Genesis is a book of beginnings. You ever think of that? It is the book of beginnings. It's the beginning of life and of death. It's the beginning of rules and regulations, laws, if you will. Not laws as in what was given to Moses, the Ten Commandments, but laws that begin to teach us that there are limits in our life. God has given us life. He said, live and enjoy life. But there are limits. If you want to push the limits, I'm not going to stop you, but once you cross the line, you will suffer the consequence of your decision. So He lets us do these things. So we began to understand in Genesis that there is this thing called rules and regulations and laws. And we also understand because there are these things, there is also disobedience. And then we also understand that there is punishment because of disobedience. But isn't it an amazing thing that in Genesis, when we find that there is disobedience and punishment, there is also the steps for restoration. God's not saying to us, I'm just going to cast you out and leave you and forget about you. He's saying, I'm going to provide a way to restore you. And there are so many things that we can start learning how to begin our relationship with God. Because in Genesis, we see how God begins His relationship with His creation. And it's a wonderful walk with the creation. And it's always a wonderful walk when the creation gets its mind right and realizes that it's walking with God and takes steps with God and not against Him. I've walked against God too many times in life and found out it's not a pleasant thing. And everyone, I think, who understands God for who He is and for what He calls on us in our life to be and to do, when we are disobedient to God, we know the pain, the anxieties that come with that. We understand the shame and the guilt. We understand how it feels to miss that relationship, that joy and that hope walking with God until it's restored. And God shows us in Genesis that relationships can have a spike, a moment in time where there's a disagreement and something has to be done about it. Punishment comes. But along with punishment is restoration. And that's what we should never forget. Even as adults, I had a hard time raising kids, y'all. I don't know if you ever knew that or not. But sometimes I would punish and forget to restore. Did you ever grow up in a home like that? That's the way I grew up. Kick that boy around a little bit. Teach him a lesson. Smack him. He'll get over it. You know? But there needs to be a moment of restoration, and God does that with His creation, with Adam and Eve. And we begin to see all of this. We begin to understand more about God in Genesis and throughout all of Scripture as He reveals Himself to us. But there's something that I want you to understand. God is not just a concept model. You understand what I mean by that? How many of you know that people and companies, they hire engineers and architects to build and design and put concepts on paper so that we can see it and say, oh yes, I like this, I don't like this. Lady, when you're redesigning your kitchen, you know what a concept is, right? I want it to be like this. I want it to be like this. Guys, when you're building a model car, you ever had a concept in mind? How many of us remember when I was a kid back in the 70s, they used to draw these hot rod cars. You remember these things? Big wheels, smoke boiling out of the back, an arm coming out of the roof holding on to a gear shift. You see these big bug-eyed faces looking out the windshield as the car's running. Ah! You know, I used to love to draw those things. How about you? And I used to love to draw other kinds of cars in my own imagination, my concept of what a car is. And we have so many concepts, and car's a good example of what concepts can be. You know, we got sleek and long, we've got big and bulky, we got hot rods, and we got gas savers. How many of you know that you can even see a car that looks like a hot dog riding down the road? Jane and I were coming up through going to Pensacola last week, and a boat car went by. Y'all seen that one yet? It's a boat with wheels, and it says on the side, boat car. Concepts. People have concepts, and they put these things into practice. But what I want you to understand, God's not a concept. We can't add a fender if we want to make Him look more sleek. We can't add a bigger engine so He has more power. We can't take away His power so He saves gas. God is who He is. And when we see Him for who He is, it's like that beautiful car that we first saw and fell in love with on the showroom floor. I'll tell you mine. I used to love all these things. 1980 Datsun 280ZX, black and gold. I don't know how many of you remember that. But I was in high school senior year, and I was watching the TV, and that Datsun 280Z commercial popped up, and I was like, and that was just on TV. It wasn't too much later. Somebody actually bought one, and I saw it driving down the street, and I actually ran down the street watching that car. Man, that thing was beautiful. Jane, when she first bought her car, it was a 1980 Mustang, four-speed, four-cylinder. It was nothing what a Mustang was supposed to be. Had no power. It was ugly. She tried to get a different car, one that had more power, and you know what her dad said? You're not getting that. It's got too much power. You hurt yourself. You know, when we look at God, though, I want you to understand. When we look at God and we see the beauty of who He is, we all should see the power of who He is and the dangers that come with dealing with God, who is so powerful. Not that we would sure look good riding down the road with God, but that we can go down the road with God in the strength and the power of God. But if we abuse that power, if we misuse that power, if we make it something for our own desires, if we try to get self-righteous, if we become something in our own minds that we aren't, we expect people to look at us and not God. It's going to break down. It's going to quit working. It's going to crash. And it's going to hurt. Because we're talking about the God who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. He's not a concept model. He is all in all. And all that is, all that we see, all that we know is all in Him and by Him and through Him. He's not just a concept that we can take pieces of here and there and add to so He rides like we want Him to ride. He looks like we want Him to look. He is what we want Him to be. We must conform to Him. God doesn't conform to us. And neither is He a construct of our imaginations. You know, so many people in the world, they have taken the sun and the moon and the stars and made gods out of them. They have taken the four-legged beast and carved them into idols and into gods. But God is not a construct of our imagination. God set the limits on the power these things have, whether it's an animal or whether it's a star. God set their limits and their boundaries, and He is above it and beyond it. We can't honor God by making something out of our own imaginations and worshiping that. He is the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. And He is so much more than just that. These are the things that we know about God when we read through the Scripture and we begin to see how He interacts with creation and man and makes Himself known. Think about these things. God is self-existent. He is self-sufficient. He is eternal, all-knowing, in all places, throughout all of time. He is immutable. You know what immutable means? He cannot be moved. He cannot be replaced. You can't shove Him to the side and say, I'm the new king in town. I want you to step aside. It doesn't happen with God. He was, He is, and He always will be. There'll be none above Him, beside Him, or after Him. It is God. And He makes Himself known to us. He makes himself known to us. And not only is he all of these things that we've already said, think about this. He is wise, he is sovereign, he's holy, he's righteous and just, faithful and merciful. He is love, he is light, he is truth. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's made himself known to us. And in our time, in our little place, in this moment of God's garden, we have enough knowledge, enough information to understand who God is, who Jesus is, who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are, all in one and all represented and presented to us in ways to show us that God wants relationship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to come to him in life and to find hope and strength. He wants us to know that he loves us and he wants to care for us. And he sent his Son to show these things and to do things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And Jesus has said to us something that's very important that we should remember. No one has seen the Father but the Son. No one has seen the Father but the Son. And so when we begin to ask this question, who is God? We can't stop with, he created all things. That's just the beginning point. Because then we have to ask those other questions that lead us down this path of relationship. Well, that's all good. I believe there's a God that created all things. What does that mean to me now? Because I wasn't then. I wasn't around back then. How many of y'all ever saw that day? None of us saw that day, did we? I haven't seen a rerun of it either. Have you seen the reruns on that? I haven't seen a rerun on that. But I know more about God because of the time that has passed and the revelations that have been given, especially through Jesus. And what's so important is when we start talking about Jesus now, I want you to think about this, because John, in the first chapter of John, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made through him, and nothing was made that is made. And he is the life and the light of men. And John would then later say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when we began to understand more about God through Jesus the Son, we also begin to understand that Jesus, who is the Word of God, was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And so when the words are spoken, let there be, we began to understand that it is the Son who is already building everything that is. Jesus is doing this because Jesus is the representation of God for us to see and to experience. And not only is Jesus there doing that, Jesus is also the same one on the cross saying, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And isn't it amazing how the Father, who is in and through all things, and then the Son and through the Son, and that the Son recognizes the Father and says, no one has seen him but the Son And then we understand that it is the Son who is the creating Word of all that is. And also that that creating Word took life Himself as one of us and walked with us. He wasn't born for the first time in a manger. He always was. But He took that point in life to be like us and to grow like us and to live like us and to experience this side of creation like us, so that He could become for us what we never had before. Job said, "Who am I? I couldn't argue with God if I wanted to. I couldn't answer one question out of 1,000. And he said something else that really is an amazing thing. He said, "I'm nothing." He said, "I don't even have someone who can stand between me and God on my behalf." You know, Job gave us a wonderful picture of where mankind was before Jesus came and made Himself mediator. And how special is this age that we live in, that we can know Jesus as Creator, as Savior, as Friend, as compared with those in the days of Job who had no mediator. And yet today we have the Son of God, who is God, standing with us every day, who has also told us Himself that when He was ending His life on this world, He wasn't just putting an end to everything He was doing. He was going to prepare a place for those who would come after Him, so that where He is, we may also be. "And if it were not so, I would have told you," He said. "But don't worry. I will send my helper after I'm gone." And that's where we have the Holy Spirit. You see, God has never abandoned His creation. God didn't just put us out here and say, "Go have at it. I hope that you're strong enough to make it through, because it's going to take the strongest to survive." That's not what God did at all. He said, I'm putting you into this life so that you can enjoy and have family and grow and celebrate. But I want you to celebrate with me. I want you to know who I am. I want you to understand who I am. I want you to know I love you, and I want you to love me like I love you. And He's been with creation all the way through, and then even brought His Son into the world, gave Him life as one of us, so that we could then turn to Jesus and say, "Wow, God really doesn't mind getting down on His hands and knees with the rest of us cleaning the floor." You know, God has never asked you to do anything that He hasn't done already Himself for us. We haven't experienced any pain or sorrow that God hasn't already experienced Himself. We haven't had to give up anything in life that God hasn't already had to give for us to have life. And He just wants us to have faith and to believe and to love as He has loved. And yet we find it so hard to be what God wants us to be. Why do you think that is? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we just stop there, we might think, "Well, He's too big for me to deal with. He's not going to want to do have anything to do with little old me." But little old you is why He did it. Each and every one of us He gave us each and every one life so we could know Him, so we could experience Him. And yes, I know there are thorns just up and down those stems of the roses, aren't they? They hurt every once in a while too. But God is there. And He shows us that the rose is still beautiful despite the thorn. That our life is still beautiful despite the pain or the suffering. And that there is hope for tomorrow, no matter what we face today. And it's not just tomorrow I want you to think about. It's eternity in tomorrow. Because that's what Jesus wanted us to understand. Life doesn't end. It just transitions from the mortal to the immortal. And when that transition takes place, because each and every one of us will make that transition, we need to be ready for that. And the only way we're ready for immortality is to stand in faith in Jesus Christ. That's why God so loved the world that He gave His Son, His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, that they would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this morning, I'm just trying to remind you who God is. He's everything. He's in everything. He's through everything. But He's not so big, He has forgotten His creation. He's not so big that He has forgotten you. Don't be so big yourself that you ignore Him. Find hope in Him. Find peace with Him. And find the newness of life that comes through Jesus. That's the only hope that I can give you, is Jesus Christ. That you surrender, that you have faith, that you plead for forgiveness with Him every day that you walk and you find another thorn. After you said what you're going to say, ask God to forgive you and let you see the rose again. Because the rose is still there. And God is still there. And He will be. He will be. To help you through. Even in this moment of decision. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you don't, then I invite you to come today and to find that hope and to find that peace that comes only through Jesus. While there's time, would you come? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for who You are, for how great You are, and Lord, for how much You lift Your creation up to be with You. Father, thank You for loving us, for giving us of our sins, and for giving us hope. And I pray too, Lord, if there is one without that hope, without that new life in You, that You would touch them and strengthen them to find that peace today. And we ask it in Jesus' name and to Your glory alone. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?